the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord tonight? What a privilege once again God has given you and I to be able to come to the house of the Lord. It's a tremendous opportunity, friend, isn't it? Amen. A lot of people in different places doing different things, but I'm glad we're right here tonight. I'm glad God gave us a heart to come to the house of God. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand, greet them with the name of the Lord tonight. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is. Praise tonight, isn't he? For all the things that he's done for us. Well, guess who's back home? Well, we're glad you're here, Brother Charlie. Sister Chevy, God bless you. Give him a nice hand tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're so glad to have all of you here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we certainly want to welcome you to the service. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that would be streaming the service tonight. We pray it's a great blessing to those folks as well. Just good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? You can be seated for just a bit tonight while we look at our prayer request. I believe somebody told me Brother Kenny Capps is visiting here in the service with us tonight. Brother Capps, if you'd come on to the platform in just a minute, lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. Certainly glad to have our brother with us tonight from over North Carolina. Brother Capps, God bless you, buddy. I want to remember Brother Matt Cole tonight with neck problems, very severe headaches. So let's pray for that need tonight. We have a very special, unspoken prayer request. The Lord knows all about that need. We're just committed unto the Lord tonight as we pray. Continue to remember Brother Joel Moyer and his family in prayer. The Lord knows all about the situations that's going on there. We're just committed unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Keith Strader from West Virginia. He is having a defibrillator put in next week, so we want to pray for him. All those that are sick from our local assembly here, we certainly want to remember them in prayer, that the Lord would just be mindful of them and give them, let them receive their healing. He's already healed them, and just let them receive it tonight. You have an unspoken prayer request you'd like for this group to pray about? But could we stand tonight? Brother Capps, God bless you as you lead us to the Lord in prayer, buddy.
Praise the Lord. Bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, church. We're happy to be here. Just take a second. I just came back from Rome, Italy, and there's four or five churches right around Rome, and we had a convention with them, and had a wonderful time. One church where we had the convention is just a mile or two from the Vatican, but it's a church that's on fire. It's having revival, and they're shouting and praising God. So we just praise God for that tonight. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come to you again tonight. Lord, we count it a great privilege, Lord, to be people of like faith. Once again, Lord, you've assembled us together, Lord. We don't come to be seen, Lord. We don't come to see each other. But, Lord, we come to fellowship around the things of God. Lord, we come to worship you. We come to praise your holy name. Surely thou art worthy to be praised tonight, Lord, as we gather together. We ask your abiding presence, Lord, to be with us, Lord. Lord, that everything that's said and done will be done according to the word of God, the glory of God. Lord, as we come tonight and we present each one of these requests. Lord, you know all about each and every one tonight. Lord, maybe I don't remember about each and every one tonight, but God, you know about each and every one. And Lord, we submit it all to you. We pray that the Holy Ghost of God would go and minister to every situation, every person, Lord. Lord, that you would come and have your way. Lord, you would heal those that are sick, Lord. You would deliver those that are in bondage, Father. Lord, maybe it's emotional, maybe it's financial, whatever the need, but you know all about it tonight, God. We commit it to you in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we love you tonight. We praise your name. We crown it a great privilege to be here. And Lord, have your way in this service and all that's said and done. We give you the praise, glory, and honor for all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. You give us unto the Lord. May God bless you tonight. Let's sing a song tonight. I believe he'll break every chain among us tonight, don't you? How many of you just know that he's more than able to meet whatever it is you have need of tonight? You believe that with all your heart, church? Are you a believer tonight? Look at somebody and say, I'm a believer. I am a believer. Aren't you glad to be that you are a believer tonight? Praise the Lord. Somebody say glory. Let's give the Lord one more good hand clap of praise tonight. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Amen. We have a song tonight. The trio, if they would come on, be getting ready to sing. Sister Cindy, is that right? Sister Cindy, who's going to help her tonight? If y'all would come on to the platform and be getting ready to sing, you can be seated. Let's sing this little chorus as they come to get ready to sing for us tonight. I'm on my way to Canaan's land. Let's sing that tonight. I'm on my way to Canaan's land, aren't you? 17 of you are on your way. Where's the rest of you headed? Are you on your way to Canaan land? Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Well, I'm on my way to Canaan land. I am on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way to Canaan land. I'm on my way. Praise God. I'm on my way. Yes, we're on our way up to Canaan's land. Give our singers a nice hand as they sing for you tonight.
He laid by the gate, begging the rich man for bread. Sores on his skin. Some said he's better off dead. And when that day came, Lazarus closed his eyes, carried by angels to Abraham's side. Oh, what a moment when everything changes. Imagine the glory, the sound of the praises when God in his riches he lavishes treasure and into his kingdom he welcomes the desperate, the lonely and weak. And there's a day coming, I'm telling you now, we'll trade all our sorrows for a glorious crown. Oh, what a moment when everything changes. Imagine the he
My Redeemer lives. Aren't you glad that you know that tonight? The world says he's dead. The world don't even want nothing to do with him. They put him away from every activity, everything that they can. They've done away with him. And now we're seeing what a world without him is like. And it's not a pretty picture, is it? Well, I'm glad to the believer he's as real as he's ever been in time. He is our heartbeat, isn't he? I know my Redeemer lives. Are you glad about that tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's sing it tonight. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Yes, I know my Redeemer lives. Let all creation testify. Let this life within me cry. I know.
So glad we know that tonight. Praise the Lord. The Mohammedans are waiting for their prophet to rise from the dead, conquer the world. Many of the message people are waiting for their prophet to rise from the dead. We're waiting for him too, but just not in a private resurrection. But I'm so glad that we know tonight who got up from the dead. Praise the Lord. We stood there a few weeks ago where they say that he was buried at. It was just a hollowed out place in the rock. And as I told you, one of the guides in the place there told us that this would have been a very expensive tomb in the first century to be able to be buried. And such a place and said some of the people may have asked Joseph of Arimathea, why in the world would you let a poor beggar like Jesus have your tomb? He said it was only for a weekend. Glory. Hallelujah. Because he got up, we're able to stand here tonight and say, we're alive. Amen. Amen. Privilege for us to be gathered together tonight, isn't it? Certainly want to welcome Brother Kenny Capps with us tonight. Brother Louis told me he was here, and I have Brother Kenny and other visitors that are here with us in the service that come to attend the royal wedding. All the news today has been on the royal wedding. Well, we had one yesterday. You can't get no higher than the bride. As a matter of fact, every time we have church, we're talking about the royal wedding. That's right. We may not be royal in the eyes of the world, but we're royal where it counts. Amen. Let's turn to the Song of Solomon, if you would, tonight. Chapter 6, verse 3. And then we'll read a couple, three verses here and pray over the word. Let's look at the contrast again tonight of the beautiful work of God in the human soul, which has been achieved by creation of the Lord himself, and contrast it with the remaining portion which is waiting for the glorification at the resurrection. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. This is her now. And this is his response in verse 4. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Now remember, Tirzah was a city which had been conquered by Joshua, later became the capital city of the northern kingdom of Israel, as Jerusalem was the capital of the southern kingdom of Judah. So here Solomon actually pulls both of these terms. Now remember, at this time there was no divided kingdom when the Song of Solomon was written. But he pulls from both of this and compares the bride in her beauty. Now that God, what God saw, was totally different than what man saw. As a matter of fact, when God saw it and she looked back at him through the eyes of grace, he had to beckon her to turn her head away from him because it was so overwhelming in verse 5 that he said, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Now remember, we're not talking about a peasant. We're not talking about some mere mortal man. We're talking about him who conquered death, hell, and the grave. Amen. Nothing could conquer him. But yet, looking at the reciprocating work that God had done in her life by grace, it was himself he was seeing in her. And it was so great, so tremendous, that he asked her to turn her eyes away from him. Before we pray, I got a text today from a brother down in Kentucky, Brother Luther Dishman, the pastor of the church there where I used to be years ago. They had to put him in the hospital today. They first thought maybe he had a heart attack, but they aren't sure now if it's that or something else, and they're still doing a test on the brother, so they wanted us to remember him in prayer. How many has a need tonight and you'd like to take before the Lord? All right, let's just hold our request there. Heavenly Father, as we approach you through the grace of our Lord Jesus, we are so thankful tonight, Father, to be the redeemed of the Lord. We are thankful, Lord Jesus, for those that one time we were without the commonwealth of Israel. But tonight, Father, we're not only allowed in the court of the Gentiles, but we're allowed in the holy place. That the mighty God that at one time could only be revealed behind the tabernacle and the veil there in the temple. But tonight that same God is veiled behind our flesh. And we count it such an honor. We are so thankful for that baptism of the Holy Ghost that has come and made new creatures out of us, Lord. You see the hands that were uplifted, hundreds of them, Father, in the visible audience. Lord, we want to pray for Brother Luther tonight. Dear God, you see this need in our brother's body. Unsure right now what it is that's happened to him, but may the Spirit of God, I pray, move for him. May you lead the doctors, Lord. May you help them to be able to find what's going on with their brother. May there be no evil that'll come of his father. Then, Lord, we want to turn our focus toward the Word. I pray that you would help us as we look into this divine paradox. Lord, this great separation of the new birth and separated and divided from the first birth, which all of us are still left with. May you speak to us tonight, Father. May you help us, Lord. May we be illuminated by the Spirit of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we ask it. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Glad to see a couple of snowbirds that flew back up from Florida. Didn't y'all know the snow had already been gone for a long time? Amen. Glad to have y'all back home, Brother Charlie. How can I take a cocoa burr and make a grain of wheat out of it? It's impossible for me to do it. The only way it can be because the inside of that cocoa burr has been transmitted from a cocoa burr wheat, a cocoa burr, to a germ called wheat life. Then you bury the cocoa burr and it'll produce a grain of wheat because there has been a life of wheat put in the cocoa burr. And the life of the cocoa burr has been taken out. But the nature of the cocoa burr is still sticky. And it will be until this new life has been fully developed out of the ground and raised up again. When it comes forth, then it's no more cocoa burr, but wheat. He repeats himself, but wheat. But while it's here on the earth and out of the earth and a cocoa burr, it's still sticky. But it's got the nature on the inside of it, wheat. And as long as you're in this life, you're going to be sticky and have a carnal nature that's going to bother you as long as you live. But the inside of you, you're born again. And when you're raised up, you're in the likeness of Christ and all the sin is gone from you. See, that's the thing. As I said last week, you are a beautiful mess. Now the inside of those of us tonight that are truly born again, it is a beautiful work of God. As a matter of fact, God said that He would beautify His elect with salvation. And salvation is such a tremendous, wonderful thing, is it not? Then we go to the second step, sanctification. Then we come to the third step, which is the token life, the very life of the sacrificial lamb, the Lord Jesus, coming inside of us, replacing our old nature that we were born in, and then God giving us His own divine nature. But we know by the new birth that it does not take away all of the human element that is still left. We know that we'll have to deal with it every day of our life. And the church said, we don't like it. There's parts about me that I don't like, and there's definitely parts about you I don't like. And you might as well say amen to it, because there's parts about yourself and there's parts about family that you don't like. There's parts about your wife you don't like. There's parts about your kids you don't like. And you wonder sometimes, are them my young'uns or do we pick up the wrong baby at the hospital? No. If you could trace it back, you'd find it probably runs somewhere in your family. And we know then that when we are born again, that we do not pass spiritual genes down to our children. Each one of our children must have an experience with God. It's not enough for our children to come to Happy Valley or wherever you go to church and say they believe God sent a prophet, because the devil believes the exact same thing. And the devil ain't got the Holy Ghost. I believe with all of my heart. It's one of the major problems that we have in the message churches, is that we have a lot of believers that are following the message, but a lot of them ain't born again. They don't have the Holy Ghost. They've never met the Lord Jesus to where that they've truly died and been born again. Now y'all going to preach with me a look at it. That where they truly been born again and had a new life. But even whenever that takes place, they are still left in the stream of mortal beings where they can be contacted by either the three realms that are above them or the three realms which are beneath them. Because we have actually transcended the natural birth and been born again, for those who have, that puts us into a sphere to where we have the ability to contact a supernatural realm. But you're not the only one that can contact a supernatural realm. Sinners can do the same thing. Those sinners who are giving themselves over to the appetites of the world, they may not even realize it, but they are contacting supernatural realms. It is Satan who has concocted the things of the world that we live in order to draw on the magnetism of the human beings that are left on the face of the earth today. We know even in the book of Revelation, whenever we look at the word that John chose to use there, and it was witchcraft in the English, but actually it's not in the in the Greek, it is not actually witchcraft at all, but it is apothecary, which is drugs. So he said, because of their drugs and all that. So what is it? It is a desire that Satan knew. Now, drugs have been around, of course, for a long, long time. Some of them even date back, of course, to the book of Genesis. Even went back to the turn of the century. It even predated the founding of America. So there's always been plants and things by which people looked at that would help boost them and lift them up. But never like the age we're living in. And what is it? It's because people are looking for something. They're longing for something. There's a thirst inside of them. A getaway. A place where they can be able to have some element of peace and to be able to find some satisfaction. But let me tell you now, you'll never find a lasting peace outside of the Lord Jesus. Watch this in demonology now. Let's give a little picture here. A little mirror picture. There's a stream right through here. Right down through this way. Coming down through loud. Now live. Watch it now as he explains it. Through these channels. Give me your undivided attention now so you won't miss this. Right down like this. In this little channel here dwells mortal beings. You and I. Now in there, let's look at it. It's a mass of frolic and everything else. But once in a while, you'll see a little light. Now, you and I don't understand this realm because this is not quite the way we look at where we are. We don't look at this stream of mortal beings and time in the same way that a prophet would. But remember, the fourth dimension is the realm that God has reserved by which supernatural can be peered from these first three if you've got eyes to be able to see them. You know, there's seven dimensions, light, matter, time, science, where the unbeliever goes, where the believer goes, and where God is. And the fourth dimension has always been the dimension of science. In there, of course, demons are able to influence and they cause diseases and they're able to do that. But it's also the realm by which prophets saw their visions. And of course, God sent us a prophet in this day to be able to view into that and tell us what was already there, but we just didn't know it was there. So he's giving us a little insight of how that it would look in the realm if you would be able to look at it supernaturally. To us, we just look at human beings and they're black, white, red, yellow, you know, they cuss, they smoke, they drink, they lie. Either that or they claim that they're religious, and some of them do the same thing, of course. But we don't have the ability to look at it quite in this way. So we know that there is gaiety. We know that there is darkness. We know that there are people that are influenced by these types of things, but we don't see it quite the way that he did. Now notice he said, but once in a while, you'll see a light. So in the fourth dimension, from where he's giving to us, now remember, this is a world that he lived in, a world that he worked in and out of for decades. So he's giving us a little insight to what he would see under discernment. So there would be people there that have all kinds of darkness, and actually according to the darkness, whether it was a disease that would lead to death, it would actually be darker than just a regular disease. If it was a darkness which meant that they were a sinner, it was a deeper depth of darkness being a sinner than it was just being a sick person. So it was degrees, but then he would also see light. So the lights represented Christianity, and it also represented faith. Now, the darkness would represent a disease, which, of course, is in the fourth dimension. It is a demon which takes on this appearance, and God would be able to pull back the cover and let the prophet be able to see what it looked like. Now, watch this. He says, once in a while, you'll see a light, but you see blackness and streaks. That's gaiety and carrying on. Now, as I said, most of us don't look at it that way. We just see what the people do, and we see the effects of it on their life. But the way it would look in the supernatural, it was like this. It was gaiety carrying on. It was blackness and it was streaks. Now we know by the discernment that people that have a certain affinity with other people, there would be a black streak from one to another. If a person had a gallbladder condition and another person had a gallbladder condition, there'd actually be a streak that would go from person A to person B. And the prophet would not only see that streak, but he would hear those demons as they would begin to cry out. You realize that? 1954, he makes it very, very plain for us. He said, can't you hear that? Can't you hear that? They're saying, help me, help me, help me. Keep him from believing. Keep him from believing. The darkness is gathering, but light is also gathering. Faith is also gathering. He said, that's why I ask you to pray. What is it? It's a great warfare. Now, what's this? So the darkness of the world, it signifies, of course, the people themselves coming under this control. And he said, it's devils getting the people. Oh, they dress fine, my highly cultured as they can be, polished scholars, but still the devil. But there's born again setting in them. Now, look at the kind of a world. Now, God looks at your soul and what he's done. And he says, you're beautiful. You're without spot. Oh, my, there's not a wrinkle in you at all. But yet, living in the human element, we know, of course, we still fight battles, do we not? We still deal with the flesh, and it'll constantly be there until the body change. And yet, the part inside of you that is like the very image of God himself, he says, it's so beautiful, it's so wonderful. But he has left you in this same old temple. Being in this temple, then, you're in this stream of mortality. You're in this stream of mortal beings. There are three realms that are beneath us. There are three realms that are above us. And you find yourself left by the unconverted part of you, your humanity and your spirit, that it has access to these realms. At the same time that the Spirit of God can anoint us to hear the word, you know it as well as I do, while you're listening to a preacher sitting out under the influence of that anointing, the devil can be talking to you at the same time. And the devil said, that ain't for you. That ain't good enough for you. You've went too far. You've done this. Is that right? Now, how is it that you can hear two different voices from two different realms at the exact same time? Because you are in this mortal stream, and you're put between this realm like this. So there's three above you, three beneath you, and you are caught in the realm of mortality in this place where we are. But I got news for every one of them lying devils out of hell. He may still have a claim on us by mortality now, but soon and very soon we are going to break out of this stream of mortal realm, and we are going to be changed by the grace of God. I ain't just wanting to be a young man again, okay? I'm not just wanting black hair or brown hair like I used to have years and years ago. I'm wanting to get out of reach of that long-tongued lying devil that has tormented me and aggravated me. Come on, saints. I want to get out of this place and leave this world and go where I belong when I'll get a body that matches my soul. Amen. Now listen carefully to this. In 1954, here's how I've often said, I believe in the church here, there's a role. Now watch how he calls it here, a role here like, in here that lives mortal beings. And each one is in this great conglomeration of gaiety and blackness and darkness. Mortals live in here. Now they're either influenced from this way or from that way. You cannot be here a spiritual being, sinner or saint, without having an influence from the underworld or from the above world. Your influence from here or from above. Now listen to this carefully. Your celestial body is waiting up here. But if you're wicked and hypocritical and indifferent, your celestial body is down here, regardless of how much you think it's up here. Because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you're from. Oh my goodness. Oh, I thought the fruit that we bore proved where we were going to. Well, you fully don't understand that yet. You see, it's whenever. Now remember, every one of us sitting here tonight at one time was like what he just described. Now this is, no matter how predestinated you are, before we were converted, we were of the nature of the world. We were of the world, we loved the world, and we were married. The first husband that had rule over us, that husband was our nature. And we were born lost. Right, the predestinate seed don't come from your mom and daddy. It comes by the grace of God. So we were born without God in this world. So we were all like this, in that we were lost. But the thing that you want to focus on, and this quote and the next one that we're going to read, is whenever your destiny, when your origination and your destiny harmonize, and they begin to reflect the real you.
Now, when we're talking about folks that are doing wrong and doing sin, and we say, well, that means that they're absolutely from hell. That means they can never be saved. Well, that means that Brother Branham was lost sin. That means that those saints of God that are filled with the Holy Ghost tonight, that means that you can never be saved. So you want to focus on now, whenever your destiny and your origination line, they align, and then you become reflecting what you really are from where you are really from. So it's not just where you are going, but it's where you come from. But where you come from did not stop you from being born a sinner. Where you come from did not stop some of you from lying and drinking and cheating and running around and doing all kinds of things, right? But what caused that? It was because you was born in this mortal stream. So all of us are born in this mortal stream. The Lord Jesus was the only one that come into this mortal stream, but was not affected by it by his birth. Now, he allowed himself to be tempted, of course. All the rest of us were born into it by nature. So we were absolutely lost. We were in this realm of darkness. Now, once then he says, if you're wicked and hypocritical and different, your celestial body is down here, regardless of how much you think it's up there, because the fruit that you bear before people proves where you are from. So you are here, what you are somewhere else. Now remember, keep in mind, this is not just whenever you were lost, because if that's so, then that means even the elect of God, you know, that they're not even redeemable. But it's when your destiny and your origination so harmonize and align that you are truly reflecting where you come from. You know, so much of the people in the day that we live in, they focus on where you're going, where you're going, where you're going. Well, that's all well and good, but in order to really understand the truth of redemption and election, we've got to understand where we come from in order to find out where we're going. Now, what's this? So what you are here is reflecting where you are somewhere else. So there's a part of even the lost world that their identity is identified where? In the regions of the lost. They never was in the mind of God, in the eternal attributes of God, and they never will be. So once their destiny begins to align with where they come from, where they are going, and this is the finale, what is it in one sense of the word? They are sealed. And they're not sealed, of course, to the day of redemption. But they finally cross over the line of grace. There's no more mercy for them. When they come into that synchronization of it, then their origination and their destiny become one, and they are sealed into that spot. There's no hope for them at all. You realize that we're living in a world when the majority of the populace of the earth is souls that are in prison now. Many of them have crossed the line, friends. There's folks sitting in the message church that have done exactly the same thing. But now, keep this in mind also, that whenever a real son or daughter of God, and a person could have sat in a message church for decades before they're truly born again, and yet they're playing church, and they're in and out and up and down and this and that, and people might look at them and say, oh, there's no hope for them. Oh, they've messed up so much. How could they sit under that truth and do this and that and the other? Well, the fact is, they're not truly born again. A son of God, the prophet said, can sit for a long time before he realizes that he's the son of God. But so it does not mean, because of the present tense of where a man, woman, boy, or girl, oh, you say my daughter, Brother Donnie, she's cutting her hair and she's wearing pants and oh Lord, she's lost without God, there ain't no hope for her. You don't know what God can do for her in 5 minutes time. Don't give up on that girl. Don't give up on that boy. You keep holding him before the throne of God. It may be your prayer that'll drive back that darkness away from their life. That's right. Now, what's this? While you are somewhere else, your life that you live here is just reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Now, listen to this again, a powerful statement to me. Reflecting what your inheritance is when you leave here. Now, remember when the prophet said, and then Tucson, Arizona, and there he was at the JCPenney store in the mall, and he said he saw that those people was coming up the escalator, and those women were speaking in Spanish, and they had their hair cut, and you know, all the makeup and so on. And to him, it sounded very similar to what he just saw as a young boy, 14 years old, when he went down into the regions of the lost. When he goes down into there and he sees all these spooks and all these women, as he called them. And yet remember, the women on the earth at this time in America, leastwise, had not been painting up like that. And if you look at the date and the time historically, they was not doing it this way. But it was already identified down in hell. It was the regions of the lost that was projecting this type of thing. So here he said in J.C. Penney's store, again, souls in prison now. Here I said in J.C. Penney's store, back in hell again. Well, now the identification that he just saw as a 14-year-old boy, now that identification is on the earth because hell has enlarged her borders, her gates. She's vomited out her influence and all of that that's going on the earth. Where do you think a lot of this head-banging rock and roll and all this stuff comes from? Where do you figure all this, where they dress up and do all the things they come from? Where does it come from? Demon spirits out of the regions of the lost. That's right. So a person then can become in such harmony to where that their origination and their destiny become so manifest in time that they are actually reflecting where they're going to. But let me tell you something, friend. If hell has vomited herself out upon the earth and the lid has been tore off of hell, according to 1961, the lid has been tore off of hell and demon spirits are streaming in every direction, if that's so, I believe heaven is also emptying out. Amen. If the devil is doing that, I guarantee you one thing, Christ is pouring out the Holy Ghost. He's saving those that want to be saved, filling with the Holy Ghost, save those that want to be filled, and giving the bride a revival. Hallelujah. Not just a revival of emotion, though we believe in that, but revivals of new birth, revivals of miraculous change. If they're walking, living, talking like hell, and you claim you're born again, guess what you ought to be living, walking, and talking? Heaven! Notice he says your very life proves what you are. Now, as I said in the beginning, what you are somewhere else is what you reflect here. What you are, what your celestial or your terrestrial body is up yonder, what your celestial body is somewhere else is what you're reflecting back here. In the spirit land, what you are is what you are here. Now remember, we have no idea that there was such an identification that was pressing beyond that world, that in the supernatural world that we can sense it from time to time and be able to feel the influence of it and feel, you know, that we know that there's another world there, but it was never this real to us. But here we have and see that the identification of this is going on even this very hour. In the spirit land where you are is what you are. If you're still vulgar-minded and so forth in the spirit land, you're vulgar-minded here. If you've still got malice, envy, strife in the spirit land with that, it reflects back here. But if your whole innermost being, glory, has become cleansed and purged, it shows that you've got a body out yonder waiting that's been cleansed and purged, and it's reacting back in the flesh. Notice in Romans 13:12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Ephesians 5:8, for ye were sometimes not in. You were. We wasn't just in darkness. We were darkness. Now with that same thought in mind, listen to the rest of the verse. But now are ye. You're not just in the light. You are light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Now remember, this is dimensional talk. So it's not that everybody will be able to see it, no more than we would see the natural streaks of darkness reflecting itself from the supernatural world. So you would have to have eyes that would be able to be quickened in order to view into another dimension. We've been affected by dimensions ever since we were children. But we just didn't know it because we don't have really the ability. I'm glad I don't myself. A lot of folks want to contact that realm. I'll tell you one thing. You got to be a special built person to be able to contact that realm and deal with it. The realm that I've seen in myself, what few times I've seen it with demons and things like that, it's not a world that I want to live in. It's not a world that I want to stay in. That's exactly right. Come on now. Because it's a supernatural realm that you've got to be built for to stay in it very long. But notice then a person that would come to God and they would be a shadow of darkness upon their soul. It would emanate in that dimension, and this is what they would look like. So with eyes that could peer into that realm, it's not just how long a lady's hair is. It's not just how long her dress is. So the prophet wouldn't just necessarily look by vision and see that a man had well-trimmed hair and that he didn't wear a purple shirt or a pink shirt or a green polka-dotted tie or whatever more. But he was looking from one or two communication channels from this man or woman's being. And that was either light or darkness. No matter what they said and what others said by words or what they would look like on the outside, it's what pulsated from their soul in the realm of the fourth dimension. Now watch this. The man is shattered for death. You got a cancer, you know that, cancer in the lungs. That's right. Just a little while, unless God helps him, that'll be it. Now he is good. By me knowing that, he has told me that, makes his word true, doesn't it? It does. Now it makes his word true. I want to ask you something. Will you accept him as your personal savior? You're a sinner. And you need him as your savior, because a heavier darkness than the cancer hangs over you. So now he sees this man with a cancer, and it was a darkness. It was that channel by which he's able to identify it, and he saw it, but he saw another degree of darkness, which was also double parallel, hanging over the man, and it was a darkness which was even darker. What was it? The man was lost. Now, he's not looking to see, measure the limb, the length of his pants, see if he's got a gold earring in or if he's got a gold necklace. That's not what he's going by. But one thing identifies to this man who deals in this fourth dimension so much. One thing identifies whether you're a believer or not. Well, praise the Lord. Light or darkness? That's right. Now watch, because a heavier darkness than that cancer hangs over you, and I want to get that shadow away from us. You accept him as your savior now, as your savior. Raise your hand to him. If you'll accept him, you come from Sacramento here. That's right, isn't it? You believe God knows who you are, Mr. Keith. Go back home now and get well. You're saved from your death. May God be with you, my brother. Oh, Lord, children, that's how fast a person can move from darkness to light. Oh, it don't take 40 years. It don't take beating on the altar. It don't take mom and daddy rubbing oil all over you. But it's when your heart is willing to let the darkness go that fast you go from Mr. Keith to my brother. Oh, hallelujah. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, that's the way your body's going to be changed. That's the way your soul is changed. Just like that. You're saved from your death. May God be with you, my brother. Notice this, from that time, the woman's praying for a condition. She has a condition in her body. She had a surgery. That was a gallbladder operation. Now she's caused some kind of condition. She's vomited. Got to vomit, and kind of nervous condition in the stomach that's caused her to vomit. But she's also praying for somebody else. That's a man. A brother-in-law, I believe. That's right. He's got stomach trouble. He's shadowed all over in darkness. He's a sinner. That's what it is. He's a sinner. So it wasn't a cigarette that gave him away. It wasn't a drink. It wasn't a porn magazine. What was it? Darkness. Now, can we as children of God still get dark things around us? Oh, yes. A person could be totally insane and yet filled with the Holy Ghost in their soul. Two separate realms. A person could be sitting here tonight, eat up with cancer, and that shadow would be on their body, but not have the ability to go down into their soul. because it is a separate realm. You can get under depression. Any of you that's ever battled it knows how dark that it feels, and people that get deeply depressed, how they go into such a state. And what is it? It's a darkness all around them. Does that mean they are from hell? Nope. It means they are immortal, living in this stream of time right here. And one of these influences down here of demons, and where the dead go and where Satan is, they begin to penetrate and push toward the realm of mortality and try to rob the children of God of peace. I get sick of it, children. I get sick of the devil robbing us of our joy and of our peace. My Lord Jesus suffered stripes so we could be healed. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. We need, as the people of God, to stand and claim our rights and say, devil, out of my way. The Lord Jesus bought my salvation and my peace. Notice this, he's a sinner. That's what it is. Those things are true, is that right? Do you believe now with all your heart? Then may you receive that which you've asked for. May you find it just the way you've asked for it. Glory be to God. Notice this, door to the heart. That's an awful headache, isn't it? Sinusitis. Makes an awful headache. That's what you have, sinusitis. Trouble. See you holding your head like that many times and up above and your eyes and things. It's very bad. Can you imagine now moving into this woman's house by vision or where she worked or whatever more and seeing the woman sitting there with maybe her head something like this and then moving her hand up higher, displaying the type of pain that it was and where the pain was coming from in this vision. I imagine one thing, that old sinus devil was getting nervous by now. You've tried everything and nothing works, but you are believing that you'll be healed. Here's another thing that you might know, that I'll be God's servant. You want prayer for somebody else, and that's your son. You believe that God will tell me what's wrong with your son? Notice this now. It's going to take every bit of the shadow away from you. Now, him telling her what her need was apparently helped drive away part of the shadow. But Brother Aaron, she still had part of it. Because the other part of the shadow wasn't for her. It was for her son. Sometimes it ain't that your need's so great. It's somebody you're burdened for. That's my life. That's my life. That's where I live every day of my life. I don't care where I go, vacation, where I try to go from, I never get away from it. I never get away from people's problems, people's troubles, people's despair. I can be having a great time, me personally. But when you ain't doing good, I ain't doing good. You know why? Because I love you. You don't need a preacher that don't care for you. Notice he's got trouble with his back and he's got trouble with his head. And another thing you're praying for is the salvation of his soul. He's got a dark shadow over him and he's shadowed for death. For he's a sinner. Now think of it. Every one of us saved folks at one time in the fourth dimension. This is the way we looked. We were shadowed for death. Now, when Brother Branham would see the shadow on people with cancer, whatever more, it signified they were going to die if God didn't intervene. But here is a different type of darkness. It's a lost darkness. And when he would see this, it was an identification. He didn't have to see him drink it. He didn't have to see him smoke it. He saw this type of darkness upon them. Oh, God. And when he saw that, he knew they were shattered for death. Eternal separation. He's a sinner. That's thus saith the Lord. There's not a way in the world for it to be known outside of God. Is that right? If that's right, you believe that, raise your hand. Now go find it just the way you believed it. And it'll be just that. Isn't it amazing that there were some people like this by discernment that Brother Random wouldn't tell them, now you'll go back and it'll be this and this and this, but he put it right in their lap and say, now go this way and it'll believe the way you have believed it. Notice again, now you're here because on behalf of somebody else. You're wanting prayer for somebody. That somebody else is in the hospital. Yes, tuberculosis. That's your husband, that's right. Another thing I've seen, he's shadowed to death. There's a dark spirit over him because he isn't a Christian. So in the fourth dimension, this is the way sinners look. But also in the fourth dimension, there would be people with various sicknesses and diseases. And them things would go to pulling for one another, and they would pull a streak. You know, devils are dumb, really, in some ways. I always thought I'd like to hear the conversation that they had down in hell after they'd leave these meetings. You know, they'd matter in hornets whenever they'd leave. Because, say somebody walk across the platform and had a cancer devil on them. That cancer devil would get in the presence of that divine gift, the angel of God. Remember, it wasn't just Brother Branham standing there, but it was the angel of the Lord. So he knew the angel of the Lord. It done fought with him a long time ago. So he knew the angel of the Lord. So that devil on that woman would go to looking out through the eyes of, that only demons can have, into the realm of the fourth dimension and looking for another person with a cancer. Now sometimes you'd find that actually crossed strings. And that a woman with a cancer devil would cry to somebody else with another devil, a different type of the devil. But they were so desperate for help. Oh my. So whenever they would do that, then you're the woman with the devil in her body, not her soul, but in her body, it would go to screaming out to say another person back there. Now in that realm, he's hearing them, help me, help me, help me. Everybody else is sitting there looking just like you are tonight. They didn't hear one thing. They didn't know nothing that was going on, and a warfare was happening. Now you imagine then this devil tells on that devil. And sometimes there'd be another one over here, and there'd be three or four of them. And whenever the prophet would go to cast them out, he'd cast out all four at one time. Oh, you imagine when they got down in hell and said, you blabbermouth, why did you have to tell on me? He hadn't seen me yet, but you told on me. You imagine I'm going down to the devil. Devil, you're going to have to work out something. We can't figure this out. Ever where we hide, that man has the ability to see where we are. We've hid for years. We've hid for decades. How is it this man has the ability? Because he was called of God to see it. Now let me say this to you tonight. I don't have that vision, but the word is still to discern of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So what about us converted folks? Us beautiful, wonderful, royal members of the bride. Can we be affected by negative things? Listen to this, Paul the prisoner. This has always been a familiar thing, one of my favorite ones actually. Now when I see like you sitting here using fans, that means you're living. But it's only a shadow of life. Because anything has to have darkness in it to make a shadow. See, because a shadow has to have possessed so much darkness and so much light to make a shadow. And it can't be altogether dark and it can't be altogether light. Now that's what we wish the new birth would have done. Give you a new body when you got saved. No more trouble, no more difficulty, but that would not reflect the right type. You are a shadow of light while you're still in this mortal realm. It's a greater overcoming, friends. What if he'd have given you a brand new body, changed your spirit, changed your soul, changed your body, made you a complete new creature, put you in a brand new temple? There'd been no more overcoming for you. Then he couldn't have pulled you out of this age and say, blessed are they that overcome. You never overcome nothing. You got a brand new body. You got a brand new makeup. But when you stand there that day, oh my, I don't want him handing me no t-shirt and say, I survived Laodicea. I want to stand there as an overcomer. I'm not just a survivor. I am an overcomer. But I know to overcome, I've got to fight hell. But I'm willing to. You've got to fight one way or another. If you fight to go to hell, you go to hell. You fight to get there. So if you're going to fight, why not fight to stay away from it? Notice how he explains this now. It can't be altogether dark, and it can't be altogether light. If it's dark, it's real dark. If it's light, there's no shadow. Nothing to make a shadow. But if it's mixed with dark and light, it makes a shadow. You ready? So we are really shadows of light. But that means you still possess so much darkness. Guess where it's at? You've heard me say it before. I'm going to keep saying it until you get tired of it and run me off. I have a love-hate relationship with myself. I love me. But I am my worst enemy. You might as well say, man, you're the same way. You love yourself. So really, we are shadows of light. Now, this is what God can brag on, the light part. But the shadow part is what always needs so much correction by the Word. Isn't it amazing? You can go to church, but boy, sometimes the preacher gets just to preach about the goodness of light and the greatness of light and the brightness of light, and everything is light, 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 light. And you're light years ahead of everything that you've ever heard in your life. And the next service, you come back and he tramples on you and you're lower than a snake's belly. And you're thinking, what in the world happened? Well, God moved from one sphere of you to the next sphere. That's all. Well, you said, was that for me? Certainly it was, because one service was for the light and the other part was for the shadow. Praise the Lord. Why? Because that's who you are. Notice this. So we really are shadows of light. Now, you're reflecting a light from somewhere. If you are a Christian and this being a shadow, it only proves that there is a life where you can't die, because this life has death in it, see? But it's a shadow, because you're a living, moving creature with ability to see, think, move, and talk, and the five senses of the body, yet you know that you're dying. Praise the Lord. And he's got more gray hairs than he had 5 years ago. And maybe he's got less hairs than he had 5 years ago. And maybe he's wearing glasses now that wasn't wearing them 5 years ago, or had LASIK surgery, or had dental implants. We're definitely going to need a change. All this false stuff we've got. Boy, I'll tell you one thing. Thank God there won't be no false teeth in heaven. Now notice, he said, but I'm glad for false teeth. I mean, for those of you who need it. You know, I'm young. It's a reflection, see, that there's life and death mixed together. How can a person full of deity be so down and so low that they feel like taking their own life? They feel so despondent with this life, they just feel like ending it all. How could a man like Elijah stand there and call fire down out of heaven and do all the great supernatural things that he'd done, and then run from the threat of Jezebel? Moving out from under the anointing. Now remember, of course, he didn't have the new birth, but moving out from under the anointing and left him in such despondency. Look at Jonah preaching a sermon. Can you imagine? 120,000 people get saved. You preach one sermon, one altar call. That's the beginning and ending of your ministry. Bam, it's done. And you're so depressed you can't stand it, because God saved them all. You preach the message of damnation and hellfire. You're wanting to see them all in hell, and the mercy of God saves them, and the preacher gets mad because they all come to the altar and get saved. I knew you was merciful, God. I knew. You ever live, read his thing over and over again and hear what was the matter with the man? It's that element of darkness. Notice this. The prophet said the physical has to die, but if you are reflecting by your mortal life the light of heaven, then you're reflecting eternal life. God, then, when you die, you can, listen to this, listen to your end. When you die, you can no more than go to that light, because that's what you've reflected. It's not like we're going somewhere that we're not a part of. It's not like people are going to go to hell when they're not part of it. They're acting like hell now. They're talking like hell. They're living like hell. Oh my. But we are talking like heaven. We are living like heaven. Obeying the word like heaven. Heaven consists of the word. If you are of the dark world, you reflect that and you can go no other way but to darkness. See, we are in a reflection. So we see that and show us the Holy Spirit reflects light and life. So does death reflect darkness. So a person is born again. They receive the Holy Ghost. Why do they fight battles of the flesh? Can I have a little more of your time? Now let's look at this through thirst, paragraph 31. There is a control tower of the soul and one for the body. Now all of you that have flown an airplane know that a control tower is a very important thing when you're flying. Right? Now there will be men up there that study and study and study and they have to go through all this schooling and all these things to be able to control all these flights that come and go. They have to learn to be able to calculate the plane of descent and descent. And then they give the pilot an element by which he's able to vary from that. I'm talking about commercial airlines now. He's able to vary from that a little bit if they run into turbulence at 31,500 feet. Then the pilot has an element by which he can move on his own. But before he moves very much out of that flight path, he has to contact the control tower to be able to get their permission to be able to do it. Because somebody above him or below him or just east of him or west of him might have done the same thing. And they don't want them getting too close. So they will tell them flight so and so and so, runway 31R, you'll take off, you'll go up to 5,000 feet, then climb on up to so and so. Those of you that took off, you know how they do when they ram them engines with the jets, and they'll go up and you're going almost straight up, and then it's like it'll back down a little bit, and then all of a sudden it rams up again, and there he goes. Well, he's following instructions given to him because there's somebody in front of him, several in front of him. So the control tower controls what comes in. It controls what goes out. It tries to help minimize damage, crashes, all different types of things. Well, here the prophet uses this term now for the control tower in the soul and a separate control tower in the body. Now, when you were lost, unregenerate, you had one control tower as a human being. That was your unregenerate nature. That control tower, it linked to soul, spirit, and body. From there was the master of your soul, which was the devil, which was evil that dwelt in you. You were in perfect harmony and unison, all five outlets of your flesh, all five inlets to your spirit, and the one inlet to your soul, which was free moral agency, self-control. Now from there then, whenever it come from there, the voice said, you need this, or you want to do that. You've got a hunger to get drunk, or you've got a hunger to lie. You've got a hunger to do this. So you know what? It come from the control tower. The message went out. Then you look for a way to tell a lie on somebody. Or you begin to fabricate this and that and the other. Now you were in more harmony then than what you are now. Once you got saved, God divided you from yourself. That's why some sinners are just happy-go-lucky. It's easier to be a sinner in the sense that way because all of them is in one union. But for us, once we become born again, it's like we got two control towers, two masters, two objectives, two motives, and they're as opposite as one going this way and one going the other. So that sets us in a warfare, and Song of Solomon says, that she is as terrible as an army with banners. So there is a great war going on, and the conflict is between you and you. So whenever the control tower begins to emit this signal, now you could be sitting there with your iPhone, you'd never hear it. You'd be able to sit there with your droids, you'd never hear it, because they use a special frequency which they want to be protected, by which no one would be able to go into that. Can you imagine if somebody could break into the control tower and start sending this flight this way and that flight that way and causing mid-air, you know, all this stuff going on, even on the runway? So they pick a special selected channel by which they're able to talk. Come on, church. It's the same way the soul is. When the control tower in the soul speaks a heavenly language to the soul, and to the body it makes no sense. The body said, I don't want to do that. I want to do this and I want to do that. And the soul talks another talk. It talks a different talk because it's from a different land. Now watch, he said there is a control tower of the soul and one for the body. Each tower is a warning caller for the needs of the other. Each one calls to the need for what the caller is calling for. It sends out a wave of warning. So it comes from within your flesh, or it comes from within your soul. You need to pray, you need to read your Bible, you need to go to church, you need to turn the other cheek. Whatever it's sending out that you need at that particular time. Now this is only the saved saints, the saved folks that I'm talking about. The world don't have to. They got one. They live like hell. They look like hell. They talk like hell. They are hell. Praise the Lord. Notice now, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires that's in the body. The flesh. Now, Paul, he's using the same terminology that Paul used, and the word flesh there, of course, in the New Testament, sarx, S-A-R-X. So it is the sensual nature. Remember, the body itself is neutral. The body can go either way. Depends on how subject you've got it. You can tell your body, I need some hands to bar tonight. I'm going to church and I'm going to clap you. Your hands say, you ain't clapping me. That hurts when you do that. It makes my hands ring. You say, shut your mouth. I'm clapping my hands. Your arms might say, you're tired, but the soul says, I need arms that I can wave to God. I need arms that I can be able to worship God. And you say, well, I'm awful tired. I've worked hard today. And you old soul, you ain't done nothing to save me 5 years. You just live inside of me and tell me what to do. I'm the one that's worked awful hard, and I'm tired. My joints are tired, and my muscles are tired. And the soul says, shut your mouth. I'm going to church to worship. I'm not going to sit there like a bump on a pickle. I'm going to sing. I'm going to worship. I might even shout a little bit. I might dance a little bit before the Lord. But you're going with me. I need a body to express it through. So get ready, we're going to church. And then when you get here, the battle just starts. Some of you fought hell all week long. And you get in this comfortable, relaxed atmosphere. Oh, this feels so heavenly. Oh. Back in church again. Some of y'all's best sleeping is in church, isn't it? I really hate to interrupt some of you, but since I put you to sleep, I guess it's my spot to wake you up. Now notice, the flesh thirsts to satisfy the desires in the body. And the spirit desires for the things that's in the soul. And many times these war one against the other. What is it? Light and darkness again. So one control tower saying one thing, and the other one saying something else. So the soul saying, get them hands up. And what are you worshiping? Well, you don't get them. And the other one say, are you crazy? Your buddy you invited from work is here tonight. What do you want him to think? You're like Brother Donnie? Oh, God, no. Don't want him to think that. You want him to think that you're a fanatic. You want him to think, so what's going on? One control tower telling one thing, the other control tower saying, shut your mouth. I've come to church to worship God. I don't care if my buddy's here, my boss is here, my mother, my grandpa. I don't care if Santa Claus shows up. I'm worshiping God. That's what I'm called to do. I am a worshiper. I'm not waiting until I get to heaven to worship. I am a worshiper. I'm from heaven. I'm going to heaven. And heaven consists of worshipers. It's a wonder y'all don't freak Brother Louie out by going. What is it? Two different control towers, two different voices. Up, down, go ahead, y'all. Go to the bathroom, come back, shake yourself, pinch yourself, wake up. Amen. This is what goes on inside of you as a believer. That's right. Oh, that sermon's been thrown. I said, did you notice Brother Donnie when he said that? He looked right straight at you. Who am I supposed to look at? And you'll sit there, as I said last Saturday night, and you'll sit there and pull the word through your complexes and your fears. Many times these war one against the other. We find out that's what a great trouble today, that too many people try to live between those two desires. Now remember, the control tower, the flesh, the body, it's not regenerate. Sometimes it's workable. Sometimes it's tolerable. It won't tell you to do bad stuff all the time. All the time. Sometimes it's even reasonable. Most of the time it's rotten, stinking, sorry, low down. And always warring against the soul. So the soul will say, turn the other cheek. And the control tower in the body will say, but he didn't say what to do after you turned the other cheek. Let him have it. Two voices. Y'all ever had things like that happen to you? Two opposite voices. Remember Brother Ram talking about that priest when he was there in Phoenix? And he was preaching about the condition of the church. And he said, I thought that man was disagreeing with everything I had to say. And after Brother Branham preached, the priest got up and said, either we got to get out of the church, the church has got to get out of the mess it's in, or we got to get out of the mess the church is in. Brother Branham was totally wrong in his perception. Come on, friends, this ain't an angel, he's a man. I'm glad he told us things like that. A preacher standing in the pulpit, you'd be surprised the thoughts that a preacher has to fight when he's standing up there. The devil will tell you so-and-so sitting on you. So-and-so don't like it. You notice so-and-so, he got up and walked out. Don't tell me how a man can preach 375 miles an hour and different thoughts going through his head at the same time, but he can do it. Why? Because he still has both of those control towers, and you constantly have to bring that one subject to the Holy Ghost. Can I have a few more minutes? Now we find God gives the control tower to you to give to you the things you need. The control tower in you is what directs you. And this thirst runs in on this tower, control tower. So now if God took the human control tower out, the soul would never tell you you're hungry. You would die of starvation. You would dehydrate. The soul would never tell you to get up, go to bed, you need rest. That's not what the soul does. So God left the natural one in you. You're hungry. You need fellowship. You need friendship. There's something about us we want to have friends, do we not? But the flesh will tell you, lean toward these kind of people. Lean toward these kind of people. Why? Satisfies the need in the flesh. But the soul will say, you better not get around them people, they'll pull you the wrong way. I ain't just talking necessarily talking about sinners neither. I'm talking about long-time Christians in the church trying to always cause trouble. Amen, ouch, oh me, preach it, Brother Donnie, I'm with you. So thirst runs in on the control tower. So, y'all pardon me, I've sweated a lot, okay? So I'm getting a little thirsty naturally. That's really good. I'm not going to offer you a drink, so forget it. Would my soul tell me to do that? No. But it's in my body, so my body thirsts. Pardon Brother Louis, Brother Aaron, Brother Joel, whoever it is leading the singing. So they bring one of them out of that refrigerator in my office, and they set it right there just in case I need it. Because as I sweat, and I sweat, and I sweat, and I'm losing all these things out of my body goes to calling for it. My mouth gets real dry. I go to feeling real parched. What is it? A thirst. if I neglect that thirst, you'll be burying me in a few days. Now, if I say, bless God, I'm spiritual, I don't need to drink water, I don't need to eat, that's somebody just lost their mind. It's the same way spiritually. That spiritual thirst, that you need to pray, you need the Holy Ghost. Another time. You'll die. So the thirst runs in on the control tower, and the control tower begins to run in the motors of your brain. And in 3/4 of a second, it will begin to initiate the proper things inside the body. Watch my hand as it will come right out. I don't even have to have my eyes looking at it. I know pretty much where it's setting. Where did that all come from? It come from a control. The neurons in my brain, they begin to run down the signal. And it was totally silent to you. You didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. But I thought it. Amen. I thought it. And it started running down through the control tower. And my hand went to obeying what my mind thought. If my brain can do that, how much more can my soul? Let me close. The thirst runs in on this control tower and tells you what you have need of, spiritually speaking. The control tower in the body and in the soul also. There's a control tower in the body that tells you what the body's needed in your body. And it's brought to you by thirst. So you go to thirsting. Now if you'll watch your thirst, it'll tell you who's in the soul. You say a Holy Ghost filled soul will never thirst for cosmos. Impossible. Well, y'all was awful quiet on that. But Brother Donnie, you're saying that we're in a conflict and we're in a war. That's right. But you got to have something in the soul to make it war against the flesh, so there ain't no war. And that soul born of the kingdom of God does not thirst for the world nor the things of the world. He that loves the things of the world is not born of God. It's just that plain and simple. And it runs in on there and it sends it through thirst. And then thirst begins to reach out. I want, I need, I want, I long for. Notice, and he said there's a control tower in the soul that tells you the spiritual things you have need of. Something in your spirit. And by this, you can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. When you see the desires are, and you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you that's creating this desire that you have. If every person in this building tonight under the sound of my voice would be real honest and look at your soul, you won't have to wonder for months and years whether or not you've got the Holy Ghost. Look tonight and see what your soul longs for. It'll tell you if you're born again. Let me close with this example. I've used it before. I'll use it again. If God, beginning tonight, gave you a week, a full week, and God says you can do anything you want to do, go anywhere you want to go, say anything you want to say, drink anything you want to drink, do any habits you want to do with, do whatever you want to do, come back to me next Saturday night, meet me right here, I'll forgive you for every bit of it, I'll never remember it again, it'll be totally in the past. You tell me what you would do from your soul, and I'll tell you whether you got the Holy Ghost or not. A person with the Holy Ghost would look at that kind of thing and say, Lord, what have I done? Oh God, have I done something to make you think I want? Lord, I don't want none of that. It'd scare them to death. I said, it'd scare them to death. I don't want that. Why? The control tower speaks a heavenly language. You understand, in World War II, the Germans were able to break every code talk that the world's in the Allied forces, in the American forces, except for one. That was the Navajo talkers. The Navajos had a language and developed a language that when the Germans would hear it, they didn't understand it. So they called these guys, and it was several years after the war, some of them actually just a few years ago, before they really acknowledged them, what they had done. Because through their language, it saved many, many, many lives. Glory to God. The Holy Ghost does the same thing. He still talks in tongues. But when people hear the word, the real elect of God, oh, and they hear a preacher preaching hard, they're not, oh God, he's beating me dead. Oh God, he's killing me. A code talker says, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I needed that. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Somebody else sitting there looking and saying, what in the world is the matter with him? He's a code talker. He can understand. He needs his old flesh wore out that night. Then in the morning, he'll come back. Praise God. You was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. He saw you when there was no molecules or no time. Them same people's up dancing a little jig. And you're standing looking at them. What in the world? I know he got burned up this morning. And now he's flying out there in heavenly places. What in the world is going on with him? He's a code talker. He understands both languages. He understands there's a war going on. And whenever his hide needs to be burned, he says, hey. Amen. Get me, Lord. And when his soul needs to be blessed, he says, amen. Feed me, Lord. Listen. Person that can sit in heavenly places and in 15 minutes walk out that door and be hit by something that devastates you. Devastates you. Are you still a Christian? Of course. Fighting a battle that nobody knows a thing about it. Because you're contacting two worlds. This is what we're longing for, friends. The change. Sinners don't feel this way. They don't eat this kind of food. They don't hear the code talking. It's foolishness to them. But the more you hear it, the more it touches you. The more you long for it. Honestly, I believe we're going to have a struggle as we go on. Still maintaining happiness in this life. And being so homesick at the same time. I've been privileged by the grace of God to travel in different places around the world. Who'd ever thought it? Little bitty old ignoramus. Little hillbilly from Kentucky. Never thought I'd leave the state. Or just leave the country. But I've been able to travel in different places around the world. See some beautiful sights. See the saints of God in different cultures and different countries. But there ain't no place like home. Our tour we just had in Israel, before the flight left to come home, Donnie was ready to come home before it was. I get ready to come to the house. I've been to a lot of the world, but I ain't seen that much of it because when I get done preaching, I'm ready to go back to the house. I've been to a lot of great famous places, but I never did go see it. I'm ready to go home. And if just a home up on a hill would do that, and you all, oh, what about a home that the great architect is going to prepare for us. There'll be no little crippled children. Oh, Lord God. There'll never be any blind or halt. There'll never be anybody sad. Never be any kind of sickness or marriage problems. Or no hospitals, no ERs, no doctors, no nurses. Why wouldn't that long make us long for such a place? Don't you love him, children, with all your heart? Wherever you are tonight, maybe you're an individual that God, by His grace, has changed you from the fourth dimension out. That change, of course, can only take place from the soul first. And it's strange how we are that we would pulsate from the soul into that dimension. We're dimensional beings. Scientists know that, of course. When we look into it, you've heard Brother Bram talk about a preacher praying for people. And somebody came in and took a picture of it. And they saw fire and light and all that coming from the man's hand. Praying for him. Well, what was that? That was a dimension. What was it in Southern Pines, North Carolina, 1962? We took the prophet's word for it for years and years, which is good enough for us. But the Spirit of God spoke to a sister's heart. Even overriding what the prophet told him not to do. Don't take flash pictures. But the Holy Ghost told her, snap the picture. Snap the picture. So she turns and she snaps the picture.
It was the hood of death over the woman's face. Spirit of God said, take the picture again. What happened? By the word of the Lord, the hood disappeared. Now you see, the woman was a Christian, so it could only place a hood on her. Glory to God. But before the woman got saved from that dimension, it would have been a whole stream. Don't you understand what death is? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Praise be to God. What does death do? It simply develops the picture in the dark room and brings you to the positive. Let's bow our heads together. May the Holy Ghost, the great searcher of the hearts, may he begin with me tonight. The brothers on this platform, first pew on back, however he wishes to do it. To those upstairs, those in the nurseries, those that have streamed the service, those that will archive it. May he help you to see yourself. Are you beautiful? Is your soul the handiwork of God? Are you the reflection of Psalms 45? Oh, prince's daughter, you are clothed with fine woven needlework. As God told the children of Israel in Ezekiel 16, he described all the great things that he had given them and the beauty by which he had adorned them. Is that in your soul tonight? Or are you just a believer and you love God and you're justified and you're saved? We'll say that, you're saved. But you've never truly been born again. You struggle with this and that and the other, and sometimes you don't win. Remember, the Holy Ghost is an overcomer. The Holy Ghost is an overcomer. The life of the Lord Jesus Christ is an overcomer. Whether it was in his body or yours, he's an overcomer. We need to stop making our excuses and face facts. If we don't have the power of God within us to help us to overcome, we need to get that power. I may like to be remembered tonight before the Lord, just wherever you are, spiritually, whatever your needs are. Oh God, Heavenly Father, hundreds of hands. Lord Jesus, I pray for your mercy. We're not ashamed to admit tonight, Father, that we fight battles. We're not ashamed to admit tonight we need help. I know there's such a pride around the message. So many people are so eat up with pride that they look at themselves being beyond difficulties and tests and trials. We're only lying to ourselves when we say such. Father, we're humans, we're mortals. Your prophet, Lord, went through such things as a man, fought such battles. And he would allow sometimes things that seem so simple to encourage him. Walking into a place one time where he was going to preach and saw a sign. It's not the size of the dog and the fight, but the size of the fight and the dog. And he would let that encourage him. In 1965, he talks about being at the tabernacle, and he walked out there and saw them license plates from Alabama and Tennessee and Mississippi. And he said, I'll use that against the devil. Why didn't he use the scripture? He was the scripture made flesh in human beings to encourage him. He went through all these things as a mortal. Lord God, I pray you'd help us tonight, Father. It's not my place to judge. It's not my place to try to look inside of this heart. This is serpent seed. This is seed of God. I give up a long time ago wanting your job. I don't have the ability to fill out a resume to take your position. But Lord God, may the Holy Ghost just search us tonight. Begin with me, Lord. If there's anything you see in me that displeases you, you hear my prayer. And you know I don't only just pray this before these people. I pray this before you. In my private time with you, if there's anything in my life, anything, Lord God, that displeases you, show me, Father, so I can fix it. We're too late to play church, Lord. Search my attitude. Search every motive, every objective I have. If there's anything selfish, anything, Lord, that doesn't please you, help me to know what it is. I give you my word. I'll make it right. Then, Lord, I pray for all these saints. May you help each of them. May we not pass under an MRI tonight or a CT scan, but a word scan. The word can be able to look inside of there and search for one control tower or two. The word can be able to pass through and see if there's still that snake in the heart. Oh, Lord Jesus, do a word scan on us tonight, would you, Father? Oh, Lamb of God, search us. Search our minds, our hearts, our spirits. See if there's anything, Lord, that displeases you. Lord, if there's some here that love you with all their heart, they're Christians, they're saved, as we'd say, but they've not received the Holy Ghost, may tonight be the night, Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, that the fire will come down out of heaven and baptize their soul. That the inspector will walk through the car and see that everything is in position. Pull the door down and shut it. And put a seal on the car door. Oh, Lord Jesus, grant it, I pray. Those that are streaming the service tonight, Father, may you reach to them. Oh, Lord God, minister to your bride around the world, Lord, I pray. Help us, Heavenly Father. Make us beautiful in your eyes. We're a paradox, Father, as we live in this mortal realm. Never a life lived like the beautiful life that you lived. Yet, you had to become a curse in order to redeem us. So you became a paradox yourself. The prophet says you become the serpent on the pole, cursed out of the very eyes of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being willing to do that for us. You made a way so we could stand here tonight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Can we just worship Him a little bit now, saints? Let the Lord just minister to you where you are tonight. Healing in your body. Healing in your spirit. The Holy Ghost. Deliverance of a habit. A besetting sin. Whatever it is. Nothing too great for our God tonight. And nothing too small or too trivial for Him to come by and minister to your need. Let your faith reach out. Now remember this man in this discernment. One moment he was Mr. Keith. The next moment he was my brother. Don't let the devil tell you. It'll take you 40 days and 40 nights and then you got to do this and you got to do that. If you can get your heart ready right now, it can happen right now. It don't take God that long. It's us. We're stubborn. We're hard-headed. We're slow of letting go things. Oh, my. Can we just worship Him together now? Just make that altar right there in your heart. Of course, the altar's open here in front. We'll be glad to pray for you. But the Spirit of God struck you right there. Make that place your confession place. God, I'm sorry. Please help me, Lord. Please fill me. Please change me. Please heal me. Maybe some of you Christians are not sure filled with the Holy Ghost, but you find yourself catering to that other control tower. The white dog, the black dog. We've told it over and over again. Let the Spirit of God strengthen you. You'll only be as spiritually strong as you feed your walk of God, the Word. That's what it feeds on. It don't feed on movies. It don't feed on true stories. It don't feed on romance books. Come on, saints. It don't feed on ball games and recreation. It feeds on the Word of God. The Holy Ghost feeds only on the Word. If you find yourself weak, maybe you ought to check what you're feeding yourself. Could be your diet. Sing something for us, Harry. Let's just worship. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord Jesus. We worship you tonight, Father. Pass by this way, Lord God, would you? Lord Jesus, We open now, Father, for you to come by. We're not going to regulate the service and tell you what you can and cannot do. You're a God, do what you want to do. Pass by this way. You want us to shout? We'll shout. You want us to cry? We'll do that too. But Lord Jesus, may you have free course of this service tonight, Father. Oh Lord, may hearts be ministered to. May lives be changed, Lord God. Grant it, I pray, Father. We worship you, Lord Jesus.
Oh, draw me, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Oh, draw me, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Oh, draw.
Draw us, Lord. you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, if a sweep of death were to come through this place tonight, all of a sudden, all of our mortal lives would be ended. We would simply go to that direction, either here or here, which we are currently reflecting. This is scary for those who aren't ready. But for those of you who have made preparation, you know that in a moment of time, just as that man went from Mr. Keith to brother, you can go from mortal to immortality in a twinkling of an eye. Don't you want to be ready, friends? Every day, every hour, every minute. Oh, Brother Donnie, I'm waiting till the camp meeting in Ruth. I wouldn't if I was you. I wouldn't even wait for in the morning. I wouldn't wait till I got home tonight. If there's anything I need to make right, I'd do it right now. While the Spirit of God is here present, dealing with us. You appreciate the Word of God. Appreciate the Holy Ghost dealing with your heart. Amen. Let's sing some together again, Harry, before we go. Let's sing just a little bit. You know, the folks is getting drunk tonight. They're not even really getting sows down yet. They're just kind of getting started. So let's just worship the Lord a little before we go, can we?
Yes, sir.
Amen. He deserves all of our praise. Think of it, friend. At one time, every one of us in that realm, it would have looked like black streak after black streak after black streak in this building tonight. But Brother Field, by the grace of God, God has changed us. Amen. And from us tonight emanates light. Amen. Emanates the light of God in our souls. Praise the Lord. And what you are somewhere else. I remember preaching a sermon by that title. Oh, it's been 15, 18 years ago. I was in one of the African countries. They were screaming and hollering and shouting and running and jumping to the top of their voice. They had a rail across the altar there. I wondered what it was for till I realized it was to protect me from the onslaught. But it didn't take long after I went down that direction of what you are somewhere else is what you are here till the shouts all stopped and the jumping all stopped. I only wish they would have listened. Because tonight that church is preaching their pastor is Elohim. May God help us at this church. We don't get off on a bunch of junk. That we preach the gospel like Peter preached it, like Paul preached it. That's what we want in the church. That's what I want as your pastor, to stay true to the Word of God. Amen. Turn around and shake hands with somebody and say, God bless you, brother, sister. It's been good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight.
Thank God I am free.
Amen.
Free from this world of sin. I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again.
God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. God bless you, saints. Go into fear of God. Service in the morning at 11. Come back expecting the Lord to speak to us again. Don't you appreciate His grace? I thank God I am free, free.
Show me.